Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
So, I have this big scar on my head. Have you guys ever seen this? Like right here. You see that? In fact, I got another one over here. And then I got another one that goes right from up here, like near my eye, like all the way down and around the corner of my nose. Pretty cool. All right, that's it. That's the sermon. No, I'm just kidding. Some people have noticed these things, and they've kind of asked me, like, what is going on with all these scars on your head? And mostly it's this one that people see, because this one's hidden, and this one is really kind of faded. But they want to know what happened. And so I'll tell you, a long story short, I was in high school and I had a non-cancerous tumor on my nose, on the side of my nose. In fact, my wife actually noticed it when we were dating, and it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so finally we had to take care of it. And so they had to take a piece of my head out and put it in here with a plate and all this other nonsense. Big, big ordeal. But the truth is that these scars serve then a special purpose. They serve a means by which I can tell you this story. And you believe me, right? What if I told you I made it all up? Well, I didn't. I have the scars to prove it, right? But the thing is unless I was like a perpetual liar or something like that, you would have no reason to think that I am telling you a falsehood. And so you will believe the testimony of a mere man, that is myself, just because I told you the story. This is what our text has to say. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so generally speaking, when someone gives you a testimony, you believe it. Now, who do we have a testimony from here? It's not just a mere man. This is literally the testimony of God. And remember who God is, right? The author of truth, like the one in whom there is no deceit, someone who is incapable of telling a lie or playing a trick or doing any such deception whatsoever. This gospel, this testimony of God is about Jesus Christ and his salvation. That he has gone to the cross, that he has died for you, that he has shed his blood for you, and that he has been risen from the grave for you. That way you can be risen too. You can live with him for all eternity. That is the testimony. And so when we think about the scriptures, that's what we should think. It's a book, sure. And it's written by men, sure. But it's a book written by men that were carried along by God himself. God is the one who inspired these men to write it down. And so you have this entire salvation history that flows out from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And it's all true. It's all true. And we have to believe it all. We can't pick and choose with God's word. It's not as if, you know, that little story I told you about myself. It's not like, well, I believe the part about you having the tumor, but I don't believe the part about its removal. Well, no, I told you the story. It's take it or leave it. Believe the whole thing, or you might as well not believe any of it. And it's the same with God's word. If we don't know Genesis, if we don't understand that we have fallen into sin and we are utterly broken as a world, then how do we have any appreciation for the fact that Jesus is in the business of restoration and he brings us back into this relationship with God and he starts to restore us back to this state of sinlessness? If I'm not a sinner, I don't need a Savior. And so God writes the entire thing to help us stay secure in the salvation that is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And it's far greater than any story that any man will ever tell us. And yet, what do we see in the world? We don't have to look long. People deny this testimony of God left and right. In fact, Jesus even says so far as the world despises it. They treat God's testimony as if it isn't that all that important. Or worse, they treat it as if it's a complete fabrication. And in doing so, people bear false witness against God and his testimony. In fact, if I were to stand up here, or if I were to stand in front of you and call you a liar to your face, or if I were to spread the word around everywhere that you are a liar and you cannot be trusted, I would bet that you'd be pretty offended about that. But isn't that what the world does? When it continues on in unbelief, when it pokes fun at what God's word has said, it's like they're standing in front of God himself and telling him that he is a liar, and thereby telling the rest of the world that they shouldn't believe a lick of what he says. See, Satan and the world, even our own sin, they have this little trick that if they can get you to just twist the truth, if they can get you just to depart from what God has actually said, his testimony of salvation, just a little bit, then slowly he can lead you away from the truth and lead you away from salvation and lead you away from the eternal life that God wants to give you. And so what happens, but the world and Satan, they're really good at this. They repeat lies about God again and again and again and again and again, and they do it so much so that even sometimes God's good Christians start to wonder, start to doubt, start to think, well, if everybody else believes this, then maybe I'm the one who's wrong. Satan would love nothing more than to lead us to unbelief and to despair. And he's really good at it. And so what do we do? How do we fight against that? It's by trying to silence the voices of the world, to silence the voice of Satan. But the only way to do that is for God's word to speak louder. It's for us to take this book and to open it on a daily basis, to trust not just the parts that we like to hear, but the entirety of it. To so ingrain this into our minds and into our lives that we will never depart from it. Because God's word is salvation. And God's word is truth. We find that there is no other way for us to be saved. And so we have to stick with this testimony. To remember the victory over the grave that Jesus won for us. To remember the great sacrifice he made for us on the cross. And to not let anything distract us from clinging to that message. Because there is no other way to salvation. Now again, Satan doesn't like that you believe this. But as John wrote, he said that he has written these things that way you may know that you have eternal life. Because God just doesn't speak this testimony out over into the world. But he actually delivers it to you personally. Why do you think you're here? The Holy Spirit is personally delivering the testimony of Christ into your ears. Why are we baptized? Because God personally puts the testimony of Jesus crucified and risen into your heart by putting water on your head and combining it with his word. Why do we receive the supper? Because Jesus puts his very body and blood into your body. That's his testimony. That's how we are certain that eternal life is secure for you and for me. So let's believe it. And let's live our lives according to it. Because you have the Son already. Therefore, you have forgiveness and you have everlasting life. So, my friends, let us fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but gladly hear it and learn it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.